resource for those schools that are starting to create an immersion program or they're starting to learn the language. They'll have a text and they'll have a DVD so they can follow along and learn the language a little faster. So those are things that are in the works. Also creating curriculum guides for both.
Mm-hmm.
That was the first one. Curriculum guide should have been developed a year and a half ago, but for one reason or another, money sort of disappeared, and all of a sudden, they're willing to do it again. So I said, if you're going to do it again, do it for both now, as opposed to just doing it. So like I said, you can develop a whole unit on this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, somebody who had an understanding of curriculum can develop a whole unit easily.
I'm talking to Michael James Isaac and Bev Rock, and Michael's the author of Lost Teachings, and Bev is a publisher from Fernwood Books. And so what brought you and Fernwood together?
I was asked to publish my manuscript, and I was provided two publishing companies, Fernwood being one, Nimbus being the other. Fernwood, and I'm thanking them today, responded positively and wanted to publish my story. A week or so after, Nimbus sent me a letter indicating they weren't interested. So that was the beginning of a great relationship, and I knew I was going to be in a good relationship because it wasn't just a handshake. It was a hug and wanting to get to know me as a person, as opposed to just somebody who was under a list of authors that they helped publishing. So that gave me a good sense of, wow, these are good people. And I'm glad that they were able to see the story for what it is. And at the same time, really appreciate them publishing my second one. It's a company I'm going to stay with because they've been treating me with respect. And I think that's important in a business relationship, is that respect.
What initiated you guys meeting?
Well, Mike sent his manuscript, as he mentioned. He sent the manuscript for How the Cougar Came to be Called the Ghost Cat to Roseway. And we don't publish children's books. But I read Mike's story. And, the story is I think a very powerful story in and of itself, but in many ways because the mandate of Roseway and as an imprint of Fernwood Publishing is that we're interested in political books. We're interested in books that, to put it simply, to make the world a better place.
Social justice.
In social justice. Yeah. And so it was the language, which, you know, Mike and Bernie both spoke about tonight, the importance of the learning and the relearning, I should say, of the Mi'kmaq language and the importance of that for Mi'kmaq people in particular in terms of strengthening as a people politically and in terms of self-esteem that Mike alluded to in terms of the students and their sense of themselves that is coming from this regaining of language. And so it was the story, which was really good, but it was also the politics behind being able to be a part of that, to contribute in some way to the resurgence of the Mi'kmaq language. That was what sort of was the politics behind it. And, you know, I went to the rest of the folks at Fernwood and said, I know we don't publish children's books, but this is different. This is not just a kid's book. This is not, you know, just a kind of going shopping with mommy or going to the zoo kind of book. This is, yes, it's a children's book, but it's a political book because of that language component and because, you know, so we just really wanted to be a part of helping to be a part of the building of that, you know, base of materials in the Mi'kmaq language. And, you know, Mike was coming down, I think, for a dental appointment.
Eye
surgery.
Yeah.
And we met
books.
Yes, I was impressed by Mike's conviction and his commitment to education, and so it was not just that it was a good children's book. It was, you know, for us as a publishing company, what made it fit, even though we don't quote unquote publish children's books, was the politics behind the language, the kind of stuff that Bernie and Mike both spoke about tonight.
The politics that you talk about If I'm seeing it correctly, I would see the first book, Ghost Cat, as being about the loss, and the second book about the positive things in the culture that were are to be recovered, and that resulting from
that
loss.
Yeah, the first book, depending on who the audience is, and it really connects to anyone who's been marginalized by society, how it must feel to have to deny your identity and live in two different worlds. The second book really speaks to the loss of these teachings, and that how, if we were to regain them, our sense of balance and peace and harmony within our communities will be, again, regained.
Were you writing for a kids' audience specifically, or have you imagined this reaching to wider age groups or to everyone?
I've come to understand children's books in many ways. I mentioned earlier when I was speaking about Dr. Seuss how such a children's book can be so philosophical and reach large audiences other than children. And I try to write to that level where it's a nice children's story, but if the audience is at a higher age level or even educational level, they get different messages from these books. Messages that and lessons that are going to be at their understanding, you know. So I'm going to be writing, continue writing in that format, so that it's not just a children's book, but it's a book. For example, my first one is being utilized in university. It's in elementary schools, junior high school, and at universities. So that says a lot about the use and the the multiple ways that it can be utilized within the educational system. I've had even people who have been marginalized. I had a friend of mine who is gay, and he started crying reading it because it was him, the character, and he was able to make those connections. So it's nice to see a children's book where a multitude of people from various cultures can make that connection. So it's a great lesson for children. So as they get older, they're going to have that sense of social justice and treat people with respect and honor people that have different identities and different cultural backgrounds and different things about themselves so that they can better treat them in ways that are going to be respectful.
You've been asked about moving on in your career. And could you tell people where you're moving on from and where to?
Well, I really speak highly about the language and how the language is an integral part of our identity. And in that identity piece, that's one piece that's missing for me. I've been for a long time really wanting to become fluent again in my language, make my language. I was fluent when I was six, and as I continued going to school, I lost it. So now I'm going back to my community in Listigouche at 53. With the intentions of immersing myself in an immersion class so that I can become fluent again in Mi'kmaq.
Yes.
And do you have plans for more books?
Yes, I've got one in the laptop right now. I normally wait until this is finished promotion, then I get seriously involved in the next project.
Is this one the novel that you mentioned during the talk?
Yes, it's going to be a mini novel, and the novel is going to be basically about the relationship with that the Acadian people had with Chief Membertou back in the 1600s, and how that relationship created respect. And a lot of students and a lot of people within the educational community across the province are unaware of that historical event. So I want to bring that into a children's book, in the chapter book, for people to could better understand how that event allowed for two separate cultures working together so that they can help each other survive and better understand each other.
That's a really important lesson for today, I think.
Yes, it is.
For sure.
Yeah.
Okay, well, thanks very much, Michael, for taking the time to talk to me, and thanks to Bevrock as well.
Thank you very much. Appreciate that. Thanks.